Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Warning, things are about to get intense. Like when you stare into the eyes of someone that you really like for a full minute straight without blinking. Intense! Intense heat! Lasting plump! From the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. Formulated with chili pepper! Lifter Plump delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades. Honestly, my favorite is hot honey and cocoa zing. I put it on my lips and honestly, it did sizzle them. It sizzled them right to the moon. They were plump and juicy and everyone was like, Nicole, can I? And I'm like, get in line. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time. Date Me, a podcast with me, Nicole Byer. It's trying to figure out how I'm still single, even though you could buy me a plane ticket, fly me to Wyoming, and then leave me there. Okay, my guest today is a hilarious comedian and public speaker and was a semifinalist on America's Got Talent. It's Jackie Fabulous!
Meow, meow, meow!
Hello! How are you? Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me. And I'm wonderful on this whatever game day this is of nonsense.
Yeah, we're recording on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yay.
Yeah, I can't wait till the Patriots win. I have no fucking clue who's in it this year.
All I know is Mary J. Blige is going to be there. That's all I know.
I am very excited to watch the halftime show when it appears on YouTube.
Okay.
I love the halftime show. I loved Shakira and J-Lo. That was 2 years ago. Oh, my God. What is life?
I know. I watched it over and over again. When it came on, it changed my life. And then now, but 2 years. I know. It's insane.
Who was last year?
Did they have a?
They had to have.
That's a good question. God, we must not have cared. Who the hell did it last year?
I believe it was The Weeknd.
The Weeknd. That mess.
Which to me is like,
it was horrible.
I'm not trying to get hyped to The Weeknd. I'm trying to fuck to The Weeknd. You know what I'm saying?
It was trash. It left me with bad dreams. It was so weird. It was like he was on hallucinogens. It was the weirdest performance.
Jackie, I wanna talk about you.
Okay.
Fuck The Weeknd. No, I'm kidding. The Weeknd, he's great. I love him. Please don't come for me. How did you get into comedy? Tell me.
Boredom. Last resort. It's not no fancy story. I was bored. I was a funny girl at one of my jobs. Not the clown, but like the funny girl. And my girlfriend's like, you should think about, you know, maybe. I had a job at LegalZoom.com on Hollywood Boulevard in L.A. And so I work with a lot of actors and everyone's in the business, young, trying to figure out their way. And I was just happy because I was finishing up law school and I was bored and I had a day job and I just tried open mics at night. I went to a writing class because a girlfriend told me to go and I had nothing to do after work. You know, when you're a comic, you have a lot of energy. So when 9 to 5 hit, when 5 hit, I was like, I'm still ready for another half of the day. So I went and did stand up after work at a class, and my first show ever after the 6 weeks of the class was at the Hollywood Improv. September 16th, around 2005.
Wow. Yeah. I love that you remember the date.
Yep, because it was all this is an accident. I didn't grow up wanting to be a comic. I didn't know you could make a living at this. I just watched it on TV, obsessed with Eddie Murphy, watched sitcoms. It was just, my friends are the ones who told me, you're really funny. You should take this seriously.
You were like, let's fucking do
That's
it.
That's right.
It's interesting to me that we don't tell kids all of the jobs they could have, because I remember growing up being like, doctor, lawyer, teacher, fireman, policeman, that's it.
Yep.
And it's like, there's so many other fucking things you could do.
I know, but nobody, I got my generation that raised me, they're immigrants. Mm-hmm. And immigrants, all they care about is just get a job, a house, a car, maybe have a baby, and then die when it's time. That's it.
When it's time, not before, but only when it's time. Mm-hmm. Where are your people from?
Everyone here is from Jamaica, and I was born and raised in the Bronx. I live in the Bronx. I moved back out of LA after being there 20 years, so I'm back home mm-hmm. in the house I grew up in. I have not made any attempt to find my own place. That's my thing right now, is moving. But yeah, I'm with my family, mm-hmm. my Jamaican family right now.
I love it. I've never been to Jamaica. I want to go.
Really?
My people are from Barbados, and I've also never gone to Barbados.
Oh, my God.
One day I'll go.
Rihanna, Nicole, you need to go out there, girl.
I know. Imagine we're related.
You might be. A lot of weird sex things happen in the West Indians. That's all I'm saying.
I almost moved to the Bronx. I was looking at an apartment on Grand Concourse, and then I ended up moving to Harlem.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Grand Concourse, I spent a lot of time around there because I was in love with a dude who lived out there for years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Target out there. That's why I was like, ooh, let me live near this Target. Get everything I need. Leave my home.
Okay.
Pop into the Target. Get my shit. I have been loving Target recently. I've had like a resurgence in my love for Target because I went to the dentist and they gave me a Xanax because I had, I guess, an anxiety attack because I had some PTSD because I had a root canal and then two wisdom teeth taken out and they didn't put me out. I was awake for all of it.
Oh.
And you could hear the crunching of the teeth.
No.
It was really horrific. And they kept being like, you're doing such a good job. And I kept being like, I don't want, I hate it. So when I went back the second time, they gave me a Xanax because I was not doing well. At one point, I was like, ow. And she's like, oh, that's the tooth I did the root canal on. You shouldn't be able to feel it. And I was like, I feel everything. I don't know. Help.
Oh, no.
I said out loud, help. And then started crying. And then they gave me a Xanax. And then afterwards, I went to Target and I was like, everything here in Target is wonderful and magical. I love Target. I bought so much shit at Target. And then the next time I went to the dentist, they did not give me a Xanax because they just fitted my crown on. And then I went to Target because I was like, Target's magical after the dentist. And it was not as magical. So I'm thinking Xanax had to do with the majesty of Target.
I have never been to Target high. I wish I need to try that.
I mean, it was lovely. I kept picking up things and touching things. And I was like, I should have all nice things. This is for me. Thank you, Target. Wait, so you're a lawyer? I didn't mean to skip right fucking over that.
No.
You're a lawyer?
By title, yes. When you have a law degree, you're a lawyer. When you take the bar and have a bar card and you can practice, then you're an attorney.
Oh, so you don't have a bar card?
No, I didn't take the bar, no.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Yeah.
So any old person could be a lawyer, but then you have to pass the bar in order to practice law.
Yes. I can represent and give advice for federal law.
Ooh.
So immigration, trademark, IP, I can give advice and I can practice federal when you don't have a bar card. But when you are an attorney, I can help you get out of jail, represent you in court, that kind of stuff.
Oh, so you can't get me out of jail.
I can't, no.
But you can help me trademark my name.
Yes.
I love how I really dumbed that down for myself. I'm sure the listeners are like, bitch, we fucking get it. Who are you trying to educate?
And
the answer is me, okay? Okay, so what is a strategy to winning an argument with your significant other?
Oh, I'm so not qualified to answer that. Because my significant other has a problem where he doesn't admit when he's wrong. I know this is a man thing,
oh.
But it's really a disorder in my mind at this point where he really He doesn't have the ability to acknowledge, unless it's a really egregious wrong he's done, like he broke something mm-hmm. that belonged to me. But if it's something that's, you know, my feelings, he's always like, I don't. So I have to actually put on theatrics to get him to be like, maybe she's upset. So I don't. How do I get to win an argument with him? Honestly, if we're having a minor thing.
Uh-huh.
Affection. Touching him.
Oh.
He did something recently where he could tell that I was irritated. And all he mm-hmm. did, all he did was stand up and go like this. And that was just to come.
He just stood up with arms stretched.
Yeah. And I was like, motherfucker, I don't want to. And then I was like, all right. You know, it breaks you down. So I did that to him and it worked. I was like, he was all irritated and he was way taller than me. But my little ass got up and I was like, you look like you need one of these. and it worked. It won't always work, but for small things, it might work. You never
okay.
know. It's like breaking the glass, breaking the fourth wall when you do that. Like, come on.
I think that's good advice. Yeah. Like, if you're feeling some type of way, it's like, well, I still love this person. So why don't I just reach out, give you a hug, remember what I love, and then, you know, you're not mad at me anymore yeah. or vice versa.
It's hard. It's very hard.
It is hard. And I worry because I love to argue. So I'm like, oh, no, what if I find like, what if I just squabble? I don't want to just squabble or be like a shrewd?
Nicole?
Or a fucking nag?
Let me give you a young ass some advice. These men these days do not like to argue or squabble. Women like us are like, I can have a knockdown drag out without being disrespectful, mm-hmm. passionate argument, and be okay minutes later. But this breed of men with that ages 25 to 60, which is all of them, they don't seem to be able to have the backbone or the spine to engage in biting conversation. Without feeling like it's really an attack or an argument. I had a problem with my last boyfriend, a Cancer, which I think they're pussies. Probably not, but they feel like they are. And male Cancers are just sensitive. And I have a problem with the sensitive men. And this is a draconian, old-ass way of I'm 75. Uh-huh. You know that I'm old. So I have a thing where I just don't have the patience for sensitive people. But men particularly, I'm like, dude, you've got to... I'd rather you be an insensitive asshole than be sensitive. That's just me.
Really?
I don't have time, Nicole. We don't got time.
I like sensitive boys.
Oh, so disgusting. So gross.
I like a boy who can feel.
No, I got titties to feel.
I barely have titties to feel, so maybe that's what that is. I like, I think I like sensitive boys because I'm like, sometimes I have trouble expressing my feelings, so I'm like, you express yours, and then I'll see how I feel, and then that's good?
No, that's fear.
Where did you find your current boyfriend?
Oh, well, I met him in 1989.
Holy shit.
I graduated high school in 89, and he was the first full-grown actual man that I met after high school graduation, because I went to a community college because my grades have always been trash. Mm-hmm. And I went to a community college and business administration class. I was sitting in the back because I was still a troublemaker in class. Mm-hmm. And he came in class way late, nowhere to sit. So he had to sit in the front row by the window. And he was the first man that made me be like, I went to a Catholic high school, so I was around boys, but they were all the same ones that I saw every day for 4 years. Mm-hmm. He was the first like full grown man jock who was not in my class. I didn't know him, and he had an all red Nike gear, the basketball bag, the sneakers, everything. Just a big, beautiful man, and I was in love with him from that moment. But we were in class. He had a girlfriend. It wasn't meant to be. He transferred, left. I graduated, went to another school, a 4-year college. And we stayed in contact. And we had a friends with benefits relationship, probably on and off for about 15, 20 years.
15, 20 years?
Meaning we had sex like twice a year for that long. When I would go back to New York to visit my family, I'd go see him.
Ooh.
And he wanted to make it a permanent thing, but I live in LA. I don't believe in long distance. Long distance to me is bullshit. If you love him or love her, go there. So I wouldn't do long distance. So we just would hook up every Thanksgiving or Christmas for years, no matter who I was dating. Sorry, whoever's going to hear this, but fuck it now.
Wow.
Yeah. So when I moved back to New York, he was like, well, you're back now. Let's do this. So we decided to get back when I moved back 2 years ago.
I guess distance makes the heart grow fonder.
Or forget.
15, 20 years to get that ass. That's a long time. That's so funny that you don't believe in long distance relationships. Why?
It's a waste. I did it once. I met this fuckboy piece of shit cheater dude named Ryan, and he was at that time a Marine, and I met him on blackpeoplemeet.com.
What a funny name for a website.
Very popular site. That site is popping. I don't know what it's doing now, but when I was on it, it was popping.
Blackpeoplemeet.com. I fucking, yep. I love it.
Anybody hears this podcast, they will know, especially white girls. As years progressed recently, white people be all up on it. You know, the chocolate got around.
Wow.
We're the good sauce now.
That's
very
funny. Be like, how do I meet black people? That's what I think I like. I better head to www.blackpeoplemeet.com.
And I met Ryan, the Marine, and we hooked up and we're cool and hanging out. And he got deployed to somewhere in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And he left me his car to watch. He was gone for a year. So we had the very pining, I love you, I miss you thing. But when he came back, right before he got back, I got a phone call from someone who alleged to be his wife.
Oh, no.
And she said, your cell phone number is all up and over and around these bills. Oh. Which clearly he's not bright in how to cheat.
Uh-huh.
But I had already broken up with him, like, right when that phone call happened. Because when he came back from being deployed, he was so unavailable.
Mm-hmm.
Which means they're fucking everybody else.
He had to go see his wife.
Yeah. And girlfriend, too. I had a girlfriend call me also. So that's why I'm like, long distance, it's too hard to monitor. It's too hard to trust. And I might meet someone and or you that makes it be like, you know what? They're in San Fran or India. I'll try. But I did it twice. I don't like long distance. I'd rather just be single and see you when I come visit.
Damn, Ryan. I cannot fathom combing through a phone bill looking at who my partner is calling. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, I know. And it's exhausting. Long distance is also very tiring. So because of that, I'm like, I know my temperament. And it's hard to long distance with somebody that you actually are longing for.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't long for them, then you can be away and live your life, do your thing. But if you get this, if Cupid hits you, long distance is painful. It's pain every day.
I mean,
I didn't want to have to feel that with someone that I actually really am pining away for all the time, which is the guy I'm with now. So, you know, I can't help it. With him, something about him hit me in the heart and every other part when I met him when I was seven, when I was 18, that I have never been able to shake. He is an addiction. It's a problem. It's not always healthy. It's very sexual.
What do you mean it's not always healthy?
Not always healthy in that I feel like there are parts of him that I might have outgrown that I'm ignoring.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so happy to finally be with him and to try this that I admit I'm ignoring some things. Not major, nothing with to do with my health and well-being. Just in terms of, you know, at this point in my life, in my career, I should have someone a little more accomplished. But I don't. So I'm like, you know, I'm content with the way that is right now. So right now, right now, the thing with me and him, it's fun, but I don't necessarily believe that it's the right thing for me right now, but I'm going to fuck it away until I figure it out.
And is this something you've spoken about with him?
Have I? Kind of. But he really has a problem with real discussions and real conversation.
See, that's why I like a sensitive boy, because a sensitive boy will have a real conversation with you because they're like,
not necessarily, or they will avoid it because they can't do it.
Ah,
you'll get one or the other. You'll get the one who will share their ass off because they are in touch with you and your sensitive feelings, or you'll get the one who's like, I I don't like confrontation. I don't like my feelings. I don't discuss them. I'm a man. We don't do that. You'll get two of the extremes. Or you may get one that's like, I'm able to discuss and or not discuss. But I find sensitive is either too much or not enough. That's just my experience.
All right. Well, real quick, we have to take a break. One in five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel, the science-based language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Guess what? I love to travel. And honestly, traveling is better when you can speak the local language. So, ordering food, asking for directions, or just saying, me encanta Poppy, I think I said, I love you, daddy. Anyway, people just treat you better when you speak their language. Plus, it's nice not having to consult language apps while on vacation because I'm having fun in the sun. Here's a special limited time deal for listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get 55% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
And we're back. Okay, so you give inspirational corporate speeches.
Yes.
And the topic is how to find your fabulous.
Yes.
And I'm not trying to get you to give it away for free, but like, okay. what do you talk about during your corporate speeches?
The elevator pitch that I created, or I got help creating, admittedly, was I work to influence women around the world by inspiring them to find the funny in their flaws.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had the power, which is not there yet, but I like speaking to primarily women, and the backbone of my story is never too late to start a new job or a new career or a new journey. And the things that have probably made you really feel bad about who you are and what you've accomplished are things that, you know, they can be made into, you can learn from them and find the funny in them without all the trauma. Example, I did a speech at the Women's Empowerment Conference in Vegas 2 years ago, right? The year before, 2019, before COVID. And it was thousands of women at the MGM in Vegas. And one woman after my speech pulled me aside and said, in my speech, it was like, I've always been kind of told that, Jackie, you're a lot and men don't really know how to, some men. And she told me that she had a guy that she talked to, and he always told her that she had too many dreams. Oof. And she was too much. Oof. And she wanted to do, and she dumped him. And she said that she was so hard for him to get rid of him. And mm-hmm. she cried, and I cried. I get a lot of women telling me now that I give them the courage to try something. Because I became a comic when I was 35. And some women are like, I want to go to college, but I'll be 40 when I'm done. I want to start a business. And my thing is all about, do whatever you want to do. It's not too late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you are a chubby girl, if you have a gap in your teeth, if you've never been skinny, if you can't find a guy, like all of these things don't make you flawed. They make you fabulous if you can figure out what about you makes, you know, if you can laugh at yourself, mm-hmm. The things that make you feel like you are nothing, if you can laugh at it, then it's not such an insurmountable thing to get over.
That poor woman whose partner told her that she had too many dreams and then she dumped mm-hmm. him and then he wouldn't go away sounds like a narcissist. Instagram for whatever reason has been feeding me like relationship stuff about like narcissism and stuff. And I was like, boy, that sounds awful. Oh, that sounds like a bad time. I don't want that.
That's the problem with a lot of women that I've been finding is that a lot of us, we're trained to dim our light, mm-hmm. unfortunately, for men. And, you know, I'm trying to get women to be like, you have to be the firecracker that you are, regardless of what those around you may think. Mm-hmm. Men, your family, your kids, like sometimes the cheerleaders that you need are never in your family. You're not dating them. You have to look in the mirror and find your own motivation. Mm-hmm. And my speeches are always like, I really didn't have anyone tell me I was amazing, you know, or that I was attractive or that I had talent. All that shit I figured out myself. And I'm trying to give speeches that try and make women feel like you may not ever have anyone to give you what you need to do what you want to do and try what you want to try. All of my stuff just came from, fuck it, I'm gonna try. Mm-hmm. And if I fail, I fail. But if I'm having fun, I might stick with it, you know. And sometimes women are so with the husband and the kids and the chores and mm-hmm. they do nothing for themselves. So I'm going to try and get women to be like, you know, make you a priority and do whatever you want to do and try what you want to try. Don't worry about being 30 or 50 or 70. None of that shit matters, you know.
It is wild that we as a society go, uh-oh, you're 40. You haven't done what you said you're going to do or what you think you should be doing. So, like, I guess you give up and you pass away. It's so weird that there's, like, a timeline that you got to hit certain things.
I know. We're going to die anyway. This whole thing of, I can't go back to school. I'll be 50. Well, God willing, bitch, you will be 50 anyway. Mm-hmm. So go to class.
Go to class and do what you want to do and... like, have a nice time. I always think it's so wild when people are like, they feel limited in what they can do. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you're not.
Girl, you are an example of that. You're an example of whatever the fuck you want to try. Try. Every now and then, I'll be in public, and I'll be scrolling, and then I'll come across Nicole Byer half naked on a pole. I'm like, oh! My bad. Sorry.
I mean, I will say, I did, my friend Eleanor, who introduced me to polling, and, you know, strippers, I love strippers, but Eleanor was the one who was, like, actively taking classes. And I did say to her, I was like, am I too fat to take a class? And she was like,
no. Are you crazy?
She was like, absolutely not. She's like, no. It's like, you could just do what your body allows you to do. Don't worry. Take the class. And I was like, okay. And literally, that's all I needed to be like, I'm doing it. So sometimes you need a person to say it out loud. But like, if you're listening to this, you're like, should I? I'll be the person. Fucking do it. Jackie mm-hmm. will be the person. Just do it. You'll just feel better. And I'm not good at a lot of my little hobbies, but they make me feel good.
Exactly. And you may never be good at the things that you try, but people are so concerned what everybody else thinks. And the older I get and in this business, people, it doesn't matter. People try all kind of shit that I have never thought of trying, and they do it and they're happy. Mm-hmm. I may see it and be like, that's stupid. And they're like, well, I did it. So just do it. Nothing matters. I mean, pandemic, do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah. I hope more people feel like that. They're like, we have a very finite amount of time on this planet. So it's like, exactly. Why wouldn't you do the things that make you happy and bring you fucking joy, baby?
Girl, when I have like road dates that I want to bring my guy with me, mm-hmm. and if there are any other comics on the shows with me, when I go downstairs to go do the show, they're like, what did you and your guy do all day? Did you go on trips? Did you go for lunch? Did you go see the sights? I'm like, no, we stayed in the hotel room all day and had a lot of sex. And they're like, every day? I'm like, yeah, I can go see the Liberty Bell, whatever the fuck I want. I want to see his bell. You know what I'm saying? Hey.
I mean, the Liberty Bell. Whoever won. I went and saw the Liberty Bell, and I agree with you. It's just a fucking bell.
Yeah.
I was so mad. I don't know what I thought was going to happen at the bell, but yeah. I was like, straight up, we're just a bunch of idiots looking at a bell. What are we doing? I was so mad. So mad.
It reminds me of Seinfeld. He's like, when he travels to tour and people are like, you got to see so-and-so. He's like, no, I don't. and I agree with him so much. You gotta go have this cheesesteak or whatever. You gotta go see this monument. He's like, no. I'm the same way.
Yeah, I I used to go out and do things. The older I get when I tour, I can't, like, I'm just tired. It's like, yeah, I flew in, got off a plane, did a show, like, maybe drank, went to sleep late, woke up. I'm still fucking tired from the day before, and I have to do a show later.
I'm about to say, you got to get in the shower in 3 hours. You got to eat. Yep. There's no time to go see shit.
Yeah, can't do anything.
Nothing. It's a relief sometimes going on the road, like, oh, I'm away from people. I can sleep full nights and all that kind of shit. It's amazing.
I'm away from the fucking people. I get lonely sometimes.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I think that's a Green Day song. It's a lonely road, the only road that I have ever known. I fucking love Green Day. Anyway, I have a question.
Yeah.
So, okay, say you're getting married or whatever, and you need a prenup. Can you do a prenup?
Yeah. Can I create one or go on? Yeah, that's all about the forms online. Mind you, I don't have any experience with that, so I probably would consult a lawyer. I don't want to fuck it up. But I have the tools to research how to do it, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
I'm so interested in prenups. I read a little bit about prenups, and in some, you get, like, the woman gets money based on the sex of the child that they have. Uh-huh. And sometimes women will get less money for having girls because they don't carry the name. And I was like, what?
It's still that way? They didn't change that yet? That's still,
I mean,
the same way?
You can still do that in your prenup, and you can, you know, contest it and be like, no, women are, or girls are worth the same amount. But I just think it's so interesting to negotiate the end of your marriage at the beginning of your marriage.
You know what? I'm not going to lie. I've been thinking about the prenup thing because I'm supposed to be getting married in September to this gentleman we're talking about. But
who would have thought?
Then I'm like, okay.
Who ever would have thought you guys were getting married? I truly was like, wait, what?
Yes, I'm allegedly engaged. I say allegedly because today, on this day, Super Bowl Sunday, my relationship is not going that well. But as of 2 or 3 days ago, I was madly in love and we're getting married in September. So today's rough.
Who proposed to who? I assume he proposed to you?
It wasn't a proposal. It was like a discussion.
Oh.
It was like when we got back together 2 years ago, he kept bringing up the topic of marriage, like, all the time. And I was kind of like, I don't know where my head is at yet, bro. I'm enjoying the reuniting with you and all the sex that we didn't have for 20 years. And he kept bringing it up, and we went to Hawaii. I had a gig there. I made it longer for our vacation. And he became this love-bombing, romantic lunatic. And he's like, you know we're going to get married, right? And I was like, yeah. So that's kind of how it went. It was kind of like, and I remember we were drunk and high, and I think we were almost fucking on the balcony in the hotel. And it was just, it happened in a drunken just embrace. It was no, there was no proposal. It was kind of like, are you, and I never want to be without, I don't want to be without you. And then it was just after that, the next morning, he was like, we were laying in bed in the dark and I was on his chest. He was like, did we get engaged? And I said, I think we did. So it happened very ghetto style.
I love that y'all were like, did we? I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how much he cannot discuss his feelings. He was like, I think we're engaged. I'm like, is that your way of, okay. And I just took it. And I'm like, I think we are. And we ran from it and talked about it every day since then.
Have you like picked out a dress? Is there a venue? Are you enjoying planning?
It's going to be a courthouse thing and then a nice dinner at a nice fancy place with our immediate families. It was going to be a big wedding, but he thought I wanted a big wedding. I thought he wanted a big wedding because he has a big Antiguan family from Antigua. Mm-hmm. And I have Jamaica. He thought we were going to have like this big West Indian fucking Bob Marley showdown. I'm like, no, I don't want any of that. And he's like, I don't want that either. So we decided I'm going to get a pretty dress, white. I'm going to wear white because we're born again every day. And he'll wear a nice light suit. So that's all it's going to be. Simple.
I often think about my wedding. And at one point I was like, big, dumb, stupid wedding where my gay male friends will be bridesmaids in drag and, you know, I'm going to wear flames and glitter and feel the older I've gotten, I'm like, I don't even know if I want a ceremony. I think I...
Exactly. It goes... When you begin thinking about the tediousness or the work involved in preparing, I don't like. Here's the thing about me: I am an extrovert when I have to be. I don't necessarily like the spotlight and attention. Here's Jackie. I don't like that unless I'm working. If I'm working, then I'm like, yes, please. I want music, a band, all that shit. But in regular life, I don't necessarily like everyone. Like, look at her and look at what she has on. And I get kind of anxiety with that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought about the big party and the big wedding. And I'm like, my personality would rather be fancy and expensive and on a very small scale. You know what I mean? That's more me.
That's interesting that you say that, because I am pretty outgoing, pretty much an extrovert. But lately, like when I go to the airport, I'll put on my colorful like tracksuit or like leopard print set. And then I'll look in the mirror and I'll go, someone's going to talk to me and I'm going to have a conversation about why I look so fun. And my suitcase is leopard print and I don't want that. So I'll take off the clothes and then put on like all black and a hat so people leave me the fuck alone. And it's not like people recognizing me, because I look like a little boy when I fly, because I don't have a padded bra on or anything, and I don't have my wigs on, I'm not wearing makeup. Mm-hmm. But it's like people.
You're not a boy, honey. Have you seen your ass?
It is a big ol' ass. Baby got back, baby. Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful.
People will ask me questions wow, that's like flashy. Like, are you happy? Like one lady at the airport, she was like, are you like a happy person? And I was like, yes. I don't know where to go with this.
I know. What are you going to say to a stranger? No, I'm usually very sad.
I'm a very sad person. I'm wearing the colors to remind me there's joy in the world. Yeah, I just... Sometimes I feel like the black lady on the bench in Forrest Gump, where Forrest just talks and drones on and on and on. She's like, I'm late for my fucking bus. But like,
I'm the same way. And funny you said that, of late. And I mean, like in the last probably 3 years, 1 year prior to pandemic, I have been dressing more and more like a 9-year-old girl in elementary school. And Amy Miller, of course, I know you love.
I love Amy.
I know, I love her. I sent her a picture of a pair of hot pink metallic cowboy boots. And she said, you are one outfit away from being a full drag queen. Because I'm always sending her flamboyantly loud pink glitter, gold, lemon. And lately, I've been wearing more shit like that. And I love it. But because I wear hot pink, you know, fluorescent, whatever, people are like, everyone wants to talk to me. And I'm like, I didn't wear this. Really, for that? I wore it because I'm a girl who loves girly shit.
It
you know
is
what I mean?
Funny that people like feel like if you're wearing something fun, that's like an invitation to talk. But it's like, no, I wore this for me.
Exactly.
But there are some times where I'm like, I did wear this for people to talk to me. I'm in a good mood, please.
Or you're inadvertently trying to help people's moods around you.
Mm.
Like a thing that I, like Sarah Jessica Parker on, and whatever, it's Sex and the City Part 2. That title is so hard to remember. But I feel like I like dressing like a black version of Carrie Bradshaw.
Okay.
I love the big poofy dress. I love a dress. I love poof. And I own these tulle, like taffeta, whatever they call it, wedding dress skirts in different colors. And when I wear them, I am so fucking happy. Because I'm wearing a tutu for no reason.
For no reason other than you want to be in it.
Exactly. And but the amount of attention these skirts get from women, they damn near have orgasms in the street. They're like, oh, is that a hot pink ballerina tutu? But you can't help that. But I make them happy. And that actually makes me happy, too.
I loved And Just Like That. It was one of the worst shows I've ever seen on television. I watched every fucking episode.
Me too.
I want more of it.
This show is brilliant. It's got us all cussing them off to high heaven, but we're still like, but I'm going to watch it. And I want these bitches to come back for another season. But y'all did a horrible job, by the way.
Terrible.
Isn't that
and
weird?
I loved it.
It's so weird.
It's insane that I loved it as much as I did, because I was like,
I loved it.
This isn't good. Here's why I don't think it's good.
Why?
I think the series, seasons 1 through 6, are here. The movies are not canon to the series. I think And Just Like That is canon to the two movies. They're very much like the movies and not like the series.
That is a brilliant analysis, Nicole. That's so fucking good.
And
oh my god, because I too have given this series way too much of my brain time.
Yes.
And that is a wonderful way to describe it, because the series is why I went back.
Yes, yes. They negate so much from the series, but it, and I feel like Carrie marrying Big negated a lot of stuff that we set up in the series.
Yeah.
So like, when they actually get married, you're like, what? He's terrible to her. He's never actually liked her. So spoiler, I'm going to spoil it. If you didn't watch the first fucking episode, I knew something was up because he was being nice to her and liked her. And I was like, there is no world where this is true and is going to play out for the rest of the series. And then when it happened, I was like, of course it did. Of course, he hated her.
I think the creators and all this stuff, they knew going in, we're not going to do this unless we're going to get a season two. Mm-hmm. I think they're like, we're not going to put all this work in and ridicule to be like, hey guys, temporary. No, there's no way. I guarantee you there'll be another season.
I hope so. I need more Che Diaz. Che Diaz.
I have a crush on Che. When that scene where they were helping Cynthia Nixon get off, I was like, I was like, first of all, Che, your procedure, your tactic, how you did it is very good. It was in the, I mean, if you want to get fingered real quick in the kitchen, that's the way we all do it. The way they did it, everyone watching, like, yeah, that's how we all get fingered standing up by the counter.
I don't think I've ever been fingered standing up by a counter.
What? Girl, what's the kitchen for?
Oh, it's for cooking, holding bottles of ketchup in the refrigerator, cutting up the vegetables.
Until somebody enters you from the back in the kitchen, you have not been in your kitchen.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing that we were all doing. I'm not adventurous with the sex. I'm like, a bed. Bend over a bed, on a bed, near a bed, beds.
you require a bed?
I mean, I thought we were all doing it on beds. I mean, I have in my youth, I fucked in bathrooms. But other than that, yeah, bedrooms.
What? You know what's funny? When Clubhouse was a thing during the pandemic, when we were all suicidal, there was some room that I was in, and Tiffany Haddish came in the room. And one of the few times that I've been able to see her and talk to her since she's, you know, blew up, we were talking about sex and the topic, and somebody else was like, I need a bed. And me and Tiffany were together like, you don't need a bed to get it on. You need a bed. You ain't never fuck without a bed. We're like, you ain't have legs. Stand up, bend over. Like, we're like, the last thing we need is a bed.
Yes, for the most part. I mean, I've fucked in, like, public restrooms, a bench or two. But for the most part, yeah, beds. I just remember, I may have mentioned it on this podcast before, but there's a scene in Soul Food where cousin Faye is, like, fucking her cousin's husband against a wall, and he like lifts her up, and my mother looked at me and she said, that takes a lot of balance and that's very hard. And I think I just took that to heart. I was like 12 and I was like, yeah, I guess you gotta lay down to fuck, because otherwise it's hard.
No, but against the wall being picked up is one of thousands of positions. That's not the one that you and I should be looking to have fulfilled.
Yeah, unless I'm fucking The Rock, who's like, yeah, you're a feather.
Let me tell you, I have this joke that I never do, but I always think about it when it comes to that. When I was younger, I would clown men if they didn't try and pick me up. I'd be like, you are a pussy. Pick me up. And now I'm like, don't be a hero. You don't want to throw your back out and blame me, nigga. No, put me down.
Don't be a hero. Put me the fuck down. That's very funny. I once had a man pick me up and I was like, he's gonna die.
Yeah, you get worried about them when they try that.
Yeah, because I could feel all of his bones and muscles working to hoist me up. And I was like, that's not how it should feel.
No, it's supposed to be pleasurable. Not like, are you about to throw your back out, sir?
You about to pass? What's going on? You better put me the fuck down. I was just thinking, I was like, I guess, I mean, I've like stood up, bent over a bed.
Can you bend over and touch your ankles?
Oh, yeah, of course.
There you go. That's a wonderful position. Stand up, bend over, touch your ankles.
Oh.
That's all access right there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sitting down on chairs, let him sit on the chair. You sit on him, facing him, not facing him.
Oh.
Having a tall guy helps, but I realize that's not really valid. All heights is possible. You just have to have a guy who's open to try. You got to try. There's really no rule. Forget the books and what you've seen online. You got to have a partner that's like, let's just try.
Uh-huh.
And if it doesn't work, we'll untry. You know?
So when you try, are you saying, hey, get up and sit there and I'm a slam down on
you? You know, when you're in the moment, like we are actively making love, you can guide each other speaking about it, but not like, go over here and sit down. I'll just be like, I want to sit facing you. Can you just sit over and grab that chair? You just gently give direction. That's all.
Wow. That was pretty sexy right there.
It was?
Yeah, and it brought me back to every time I've ever had sex and said something, I'm like, I'm not sexy. I'm like, hey, flip me over, please.
It's cold. You got a blanket? You gotta soften it up a little bit.
I guess so. Yeah, that was, oh, yeah, okay. Hey. Oh, maybe that's why I'm single. I don't know how to be sensual. Oh, my God.
I told you, men are pussies. Not all of y'all, but most of you.
And that's what I want. I want a pussy man. I want a sensitive boy. That's what I want. Real quick, we have to take another break.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Do you like to break the rules? Are you curious about gift-giving etiquette? If so, I implore you to check out a very funny podcast called I Said No Gifts on the Exactly Right Network. Every Thursday, host Bridger Weinergaard invites his favorite people in comedy into his backyard to chat. He just has one rule, no gifts. Unfortunately, everyone has ignored this simple request. They all bring gifts and force Bridger to talk about it. In addition to yours truly, past visitors include Bowen Yang, Darcy Carden, Mitra Johari, and Weird Al Yankovic. Each episode includes a fun game, and Bridger offers perfect gift-giving advice to clueless listeners. In case you were wondering, I brought him cough drops, and it was a treat and a dream. Don't miss new episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts. Jackie, I have a question.
Yes.
So, like, were you like a big flirt in high school? Did you have to? I feel like it's a shitty question to be like, did you always have confidence? But I feel like, I don't know, that's like a question fat ladies get asked a lot. But I'm curious.
I honestly and truly do not know the source for the confidence besides trial and error.
Uh-huh.
My parents took care of me and I had a good childhood, but they weren't encouragers unless it was academic stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I mean, don't fucking fail. Nothing really nurturing. So in high school, I was insecure because I felt all of my girlfriends were prettier than me. And I lived in an era where if you were light skinned, you were the more attractive girl. So I had that stigma in my head. Mm-hmm. And I was a funny girl. And all of my best friends in schools were always guys. So I kind of made my way of handling the insecurity that was I knew was bound to happen. I combated that by making my friends men.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of saved me from a lot of insecurity because all of my friends were dudes.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of felt like one of them, although I would date them because I would occasionally date my guy friends. And I felt like, and when my first serious boyfriend, I was with him, my ex-husband, for like 9-10 years, but he told me every day I was beautiful. He showered me mm-hmm. with love the whole relationship. So I would accredit him. He passed away a while ago, a heart attack. I would accredit him with feeding me daily while he and I were together. Even when we were fighting, he thought I was gorgeous.
Aww.
So when he and I ended and I moved to LA and there was no more him and I had to live on my own, it was my first time being single ever because I had him forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't know. I just, something, I was probably God, probably him telling me every day that I'm pretty. So I'm like, I must be pretty if he thinks that. He was an attractive guy. And because I was always the funny girl around my guy friends, it made it easier to flirt because they're comfortable around me and I'm comfortable around them. So I kind of have always been a flirty girl without being sexual about it, but I know how to make guys be blush also. You know what I mean? Oh. That's a skill that I think I have. I'm very good at flirting with men because I feel like women, we think we need a special way to be flirted with, but I think men need the same attention. Like, I like flattery, so do men. Like, I like being told, I love your sneakers. I'm like, oh, your hair? Men love all that shit, too. Like, do some of the things that we, like, have done to us. Do that to men. You'd be shocked at how much they're like, oh, they get all flustered, and they get blushy, and they get embarrassed. Oh. And use that to your advantage. You know?
That's very good advice.
So they don't get it. They live their life as, we're the provider. We have to do this. We have to. Men are always expected to have a job to do. Mm-hmm. They're rarely ever fawned over. Like, you know, look at those muscles. Or, hey, shoulders. That kind of shit will make a man smile all day long. And I use that when I want to date someone or when I'm attracted to a guy. I've had guy friends be like, I thought you liked me. I'm like, no, I'm just letting you know that your beard is cute. You know, it's just flattery works.
Interesting. I never compliment men, and I don't know why. I guess I should.
I mean,
well, sometimes I do. My male friends, I do. But if I'm like interested in the guy, I'm like, oh, I don't want to come off too strong. I don't want them to be like, ugh, what is she doing? I just get like real self-conscious about it.
I would say don't, when you approach men, don't approach them with you're trying to get the number or the digits or the dick. I would say approach them like you're just trying to make them laugh. Because the comedy thing, this comedy shit works on everyone. And I've made a lot of men laugh, and then that makes them be like, I like being around her. Then they want to be around me more. I'm making it sound like I have large spans of time with no boyfriend, like years. So, but when I'm in that drought period, voluntarily or involuntarily, I always have a fuck buddy of some sort. I feel like women who don't get laid because they want a boyfriend, I think you're wasting your life. Find somewhere, somehow, to at least get your needs taken care of. Also, that's another thing. If you're not hungry and thirsty and starving, you appear to be more desirable. If you are going after a dude and they can tell you seem thirsty, and thirsty, you can appear horny without realizing it. So I'm like, I masturbate a lot, fuck buddy. I'm always like, I gotta get this orgasm out some way to be out in the world. So I would say do that so that when you do approach men, the old rule that men have, jerk off before you go out on a date. The same rule that we should be following. When you're gonna go out to meet dude, you shouldn't be all pent up and horny. Like, I haven't seen a dick since Christmas. They can tell.
They can tell.
They're like, she's on the prowl, and that is the best way to have a guy run away. Last example I thought of in the shower the other day. Women who don't want to go after men or don't want to put the effort to find the guy, I'm like, when you're hunting, if you're a hunter, wherever you are in the country, you hunt animal. You have to have an outfit on. You have to wear a special outfit to go hunt. The clothing has to have a clothing pattern, camo, whatever, to hunt. You got to go out a certain time of day. You got a certain time of year, certain guns, certain bait. Because you're trying to catch something that does not want to be caught. It's the same rules for trying to find a man. You got to wear an outfit or at least try and look cute or clean. Go somewhere that you know they might be a certain time of night, have a certain kind of bait, whether it's your conversation or your looks, whatever. But men don't want to be caught, but you have to put the steps in place to hunt for them. So it's the same thing for animals. They don't want to get caught. They're in the wild. Men are out there in the wild. If you want to get them, you got to put some effort into it. You got to go where they are, wear the outfit, have the bait, go out in the early morning. When you go on trying to find a boyfriend, you got to put some work into it. I know we want them to come to us.
But where are they?
I don't know.
What do you wear?
What do you want to wear? Do you want to wear for Nicole or do you want to wear for them? Or a mixture? Any woman is like, I dress for me. Well, then that's why you haven't seen a penis in 3 years. You have to dress for more than you.
Oh, interesting.
Without being uncomfortable. Example. Somebody might hear that and think, well, Jackie wants me to wear heels. I don't got time. No. I wear cute sneakers with every outfit, a dress, a skirt. Comfort and knowing you look cute, that's what I mean by looking cute for the date. I don't mean dressing for men. I mean dressing for Nicole, but knowing that men will like it too. You have to care about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe you show a little cleavage, but then you're just like, but also my pants are, they're wide leg and comfy.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to wear a leopard print bodysuit, go ahead. But let me see some flesh. Can I see a titty, a little bit of meat? give me something so you feel like you, but he's also like, well, I want to see what's going on. You know what I'm saying? You got to give him something, you know?
All right. I think that's good advice.
You have to do something. I never compliment men. I mean, think about how often you say, I never go out this time of day. I never compliment men. I never count how often, how many of those you have. And then you'll be like, this is why I'm single. I got too many things I don't do.
I got to start doing things.
Yeah. Like Sandra Rhimes, say yes. You got to say yes to shit.
Yes, say yes to the experience, say yes to a man, say yes to everything.
Yes, the compliments, yes, make him feel good about himself. You know, that's because you're trying to get, you have an ultimate goal. You're not really trying to get him, you're trying to get what you need. But you got to play the game.
Interesting.
You know, and in turn, you playing the game, getting what you want, will hopefully get his rocks off too.
I think this is all good advice.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, Jackie, we've come to the end.
No, I have a song I wrote for you. I want to sing it.
Wait, really?
No, I'm kidding.
Do you have anything you want to promote?
I am at the DC Comedy Loft March. I'm at DC Comedy Loft. Where the fuck is it?
10th through 12th.
Yes, March 10th through 12th. I'm at DC Comedy Loft. And when I'm not there, I'm always at the Comedy Cellar in the Village in New York City. And you can go to JackieFabulous.com for more dates. I forget them all because they keep getting canceled and rescheduled. I don't know what's happening.
It is annoying.
Yeah.
It is like COVID really makes it fucking hard to do with to like schedule any fucking thing.
Anything, literally.
Okay, well, if you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can like it, you can rate it, you can subscribe, you can give me 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, and then if you write me something nasty and send it to Why Won't You Date Me podcast@gmail.com, I will read it. So this person wrote to me. So you and me go out. We have a little bit of fun at Chuck E. Cheese. We go back to your place and podcast all night long about hypothetical situations we could get into together. Like fantasize how I could bring you to a lady glory hole and go slurp, slurp, suck, suck, or try to tune to a specific radio station with your clit. But that's it. We only podcast about hypotheticals. I'm waiting till marriage. Well, okay. That's interesting. Hypotheticals. Okay, how about this? I want Nicole to slip her feet, yes, both feet into my sopping wet hole and use me as a pair of diving flippers. That's funny.
Oh, that's hilarious. And imagination is crazy.
Yeah, what a horrible image, and I fucking love it. Okay. Bye-bye. That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
like to break the rules? Are you curious about gift-giving etiquette? If so, I implore you to check out a very funny podcast called I Said No Gifts on the Exactly Right Network. Every Thursday, host Bridger Weinergaard invites his favorite people in comedy into his backyard to chat. He just has one rule: no gifts. Unfortunately, everyone has ignored this simple request. They all bring gifts and force Bridger to talk about it. In addition to yours truly, past visitors include Bowen Yang, Darcy Carden, Mitra Johari, and Weird Al Yankovic. Each episode includes a fun game, and Bridger offers perfect gift-giving advice to clueless listeners. In case you were wondering, I brought him cough drops, and it was a treat and a dream. Don't miss new episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.